All right, as advertised, we have the two challenges for the Drake and Board of Selectmen's race this year, Jesse Forcey and Phil Thibault. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, where do we start? Let's just start. For those people that don't know these two gentlemen, Phil, give us a thumbnail about Phil Thibault.
I'm a registered architect, registered in five states. I've been involved in town government for quite a while on various boards, planning board, permanent building committee as of late, working on the high school renovation. That was a long project. I'm the chairman for NEMCOG, Northern Middle South Council of Governments, as a representative for Draket. I want to essentially...
One of few people that have held that post from the town of Draket.
Yeah. So
might be just two of us.
So I'm in very good company.
You are.
As my slogan says, I want to try to build a better Draket. Use my expertise.
All right. So we'll talk about that and other things, but we got to introduce Jesse Forcey. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Warren. Excuse my voice a little bit. My name is Jesse Forcey. I'm currently the chairman of the planning board. I'm also a Draket Housing Authority commissioner. I live in town with my wife and my two little ones, 3 and 4. I work in town. I've been active in town government since the day I moved to Draket, just getting involved pretty much all aspects of town government at one point or another.
Mr. Ash?
I want to mention before we start that I've actually made a donation to Jesse's campaign. He's my first candidate that I will be voting for, but I haven't decided on a second yet. Just want to be upfront and clear about that.
All right. Well, in the interest of disclosure, I went to Phil Thibault's party, and I gave him a check, and I didn't go to Jesse Forcey's party, but I gave him a check also. So
I know people are going to see the campaign finance reports and come out and attack us, so I just want to be ahead of it.
That's fine. I mean, in our situation, we have to cover the Draket thing, whether people are happy or unhappy with it, it's fine with me. All right, so let's get to Phil, your opener, the thing about building a better Draket. What context do you say that? I mean, building what?
Well, I use building as, I suppose, a euphemism because I am an architect.
Right.
And so a lot of my experience comes from being able to envision a project, pull together a team, get the project designed and built and getting everybody on board to build a coalition of a team. So,
yeah, from the context of town projects or private development coming into the town, or both? Or
certainly both. I do know some developers who have done fairly large projects, but not only from the private aspect, but also from the government. I mean, I think I've been able to build a fairly good coalition of people on boards and getting people to discuss ideas and talk to each other rather than shout at each other.
Right.
So is building something you see as Draket's need for the future?
Well, again, it's building coalitions. So, I mean, certainly, as far as a building goes, we need a new fire station over in Collinsville. Mm. And so I've been kind of working to try to make that a reality, too.
Right. Jesse, what do you say about all of that? Do you think that that's a good skill to bring to the table? You feel the same way about yourself? I mean, you've been involved in things yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've kind of been at the front line on the planning board with a lot of the, new economic development things
probably
that are coming
served
online.
Served together, right?
We did very briefly. Yeah. I think Phil was the chairman when I got on as the alternate. 6 years ago, maybe?
Yeah.
Somewhere in there.
All of that, maybe.
All of that. It's been a while. So that's... One of my strongest suits is working for economic development for the town. I see we worked fairly closely looking over the rezoning for the potential gas station down on 113. I think that's going to be a great gateway project for the development of Broadway Road. We have another project that we're looking at right now. It's a 55-plus community. It's not economic development, but... The project itself...
The 55-year-olds don't put any kids in the schools.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it'll be a private road, plowed, it won't be maintained by the town.
So this is something that's happened recently?
This is ongoing right now.
Is that
now.
The Fox thing down in 113?
Correct. Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
All right. So there's also sort of a mini side controversy about the house.
There is, and the applicant...
Which is too bad, yeah.
Yeah. The applicant actually has been... very good with the CPC. He's actually offered to pay $25,000 to help in the movement of the house or the barn. I believe there's a potential buyer for the barn. So I think they are working it out.
Yeah. And so you think that to Phil's point about building a better dragon, you agree with economic development need?
Yes, absolutely. That's you know.
I think you're both on the same page, Phil. Right? I mean, you're kind of economic.
Definitely. Yep. The more business we can bring in, the more vibrant the whole community becomes.
Right.
I believe it's a good skill set to bring. That, you know, especially being in that realm of the planning board, there's a balance there between economic development, but also the effect on the neighborhoods and the culture of the
town. And that's sort of the, this generation of public officials hasn't done anything with a master plan recently that I'm aware of.
Well, the last master plan was done in, I believe, 1999.
So that was the one, I remember it being pushed by Jimmy O.
Yeah.
The former selectman, Jim O'Loughlin. The reality is that it kind of says that the people don't want economic development.
I don't know if that's entirely true. They, the way I've taken it is that they certainly want to have economic development in specific areas. Drake is very proud of its agricultural past, and they want to maintain that. I mean, I believe even you said we're not really an agricultural community,
but we're
very proud of the agriculture that was there and is still here.
Yeah. I get a kick out of it. Back to your point, I sent the town manager a text the other day saying, we've stopped calling Drake a farm town. I mean, there's like maybe a dozen people that make their living in agriculture in the town, and, you know, most of them are part-time. You know, so it's really, you know, I mean, the land base issue, I mean, my view, and I'll ask this question, my view is that the land base issue related to agriculture has been positive, preventing the town from becoming more of a bedroom town. True? False?
Probably not. I mean, if you look at all of the land that's still developable within Drake, there's still probably almost 4,800 acres.
But I mean, is it residential land?
Well, for the most part, most of the town is residential.
Right. No, that's my point. I mean, so Jesse, jump in here anytime you want. My thinking is, you know, the economics of building houses is our problem. And unless we get the value of homes up like we did with the golf course, you know, it's a lose-lose deal. Should we be advocating for development as opposed to saving land?
Oh, I don't think so. You need a good blend of both. Certainly.
You agree with that, Jesse?
Absolutely. I believe the CPC's done a great job. I believe the keeping these properties open as open space and keeping just more, you know, carbon copy residential developments in there, and when along comes that, there's more students.
Right. Well, that's the challenge with residential, especially some of the older stuff.
We also have the your group is in the middle of a project that you've been heading over on Richardson Farm.
Correct. Correct.
Yep. That's not Richardson Farm. That's Bridge Street, Richardson. Yeah, no, because there's a couple of projects. I don't want any, because people do think, I mean, that they confuse the parcels.
Right,
so
we call it the Bridge
there
Street.
There is no development anticipated for the Richardson property over on Mammoth Road. Mammoth Road, right?
Beaverbrook Farm.
Beaverbrook.
Yeah, there's no development anticipated over
there. No, this is on Bridge Street. It's going along not to my liking. It's just very slow. I didn't realize how long this process was going to take, but we're in April we'll be hiring a full-time architect that's going to design a selection, a civil engineer. So the ball's moving. We're pushing it.
Is there funding?
That is the last hurdle. It'll be, but we're working with a group called the Women's Institute. You know, the funding is there from the town. We've already got $3 million from the CPC and $1 million also to buy the property. So when you put all this package together, that you bring your final package to DHCD, and
they have funding options for you?
Yes.
All right, Phil, what do you say about this project? I think you were involved a little bit in the beginning.
Yeah, I was approached by a number of people, and I helped with some of the initial design as far as some of the units, the layout of the units, and at that point, I think I had about 63 units on the parcel in a village sort of scenario.
Yep.
Again, a very rough sort of sketch, sure. Just to get a ballpark idea, yep, of what could be built there.
Right. But, I mean, it's just, it is a project that is a priority of the towns, and it's all a matter of where you go for funding. And,
yeah, I mean, town meeting stood right behind it very much is in the purchase, yeah, of the property.
Right.
It would look at it to phase it in. It's not going to be, you know, the 45 to 60 that we looked at right off the bat, but if there's any misconceptions out there, this property will be dedicated to the sole use of senior elderly housing. There is no,
so there's no mixed use. No mixed use.
It's not a mixed use. It is for,
it will be elderly, senior only.
Senior only, with I believe 70% Draycott resident preferential. They will have the first shot at it.
Yeah. And there's enough of them on that list. We all know that.
Yes.
There are tons of things we could talk about. We go and send it in different directions. We might as well jump on the financial piece at some point.
That's where I was going to go.
So we'll leave it with Jesse for now. What's your vision of the Draycott issue with the ability to fund? And I'm going to ask the same question to Phil.
Sure.
The ability to fund services going forward.
I don't think anyone will disagree that the need is there. There's a revenue shortage on both ends. I believe that the town officials, our elected officials, and the administrations of the school and the town got the right answers that, you know, we need. They put everything on the table. I believe all the numbers are there. And, you know, I trust in the residents and the taxpayers that they'll decide if what they think is right for Draycott.
And what about the other options for those? I mean, that's just in relation to the potential of an override. Are there other things the town can do to enhance its position?
Well, I think we just talked about it. Economic development is going to be huge. Even if, you know, if this, the override were to go forward, I think it's a short-term solution. We need to be looking down the road. Obviously, more economic development. We need to bring that revenue in. I think that's the main source for it.
All right. Let me get to Phil. Go ahead, Phil. Same question. I mean, what?
Well, yeah, and
override, future, all
you
that.
Know, I think the override is essentially a stopgap. I mean, the school's kind of planned it out for 3 to 5 years of how they're going to be essentially using the money, and the public safety is all dedicated to police officers and firefighters, which we certainly need. But I think the whole thing needs to be worked globally. So, as we had mentioned earlier, the master plan, which was done almost 30 years ago or so, I mean, that really needs to be looked at. That's almost two generations ago.
Right. No, I've always felt that it needs to come off the shelf and be freshened
up. That needs
up.
To be looked at. Economic development, yeah, we need it. But, you know, that needs to go hand in hand with the master plan. What type of economic development do we want,
right,
in Draycott?
Right.
I mean, I have this problem with people who want to have homes built. I want four bedrooms. I want this, and this. And one of my first questions to them is, how are you planning on using your house? I mean, how do you want to live?
Right.
I can design you a house, but I want to design you a house. I want you to be able to live in it. So Draycott really needs to take a look at what kind of economic development do we want.
I mean, let me ask you, is a pipeline economic development?
It is, and is that the type of economic development you want? Because as soon as you have a compression station on Broadway, you're severely limiting what else is going to be on Broadway.
I mean, how so?
Well, nobody's going to want to have an entertainment venue next to a compression station. If we're trying to bring in new economic growth, certainly it's going to be detrimental to a lot of the farms in the area if they're trying to do something that's sustainable farming. And there's a wide array of things that need to be looked at. And, you know, you make one choice, it may limit or eliminate some other choices that we want to make.
So, Jesse, what do you, Phil brought up the, or Sean brought up the issue with the compression station, the pipeline.
Yeah,
thoughts on that?
Yeah, that is very close to home. Actually, with the new pipeline coming in, potentially, will create the need for expansion of the Haver Lateral, which runs directly through my yard. 50% of my yard will be, you know, torn to shreds. And the metering station, I believe, will be within, I don't know, a couple hundred yards from my house. So, I mean, and
what about the compression station? It's up on, that's the Exxon.
It'll
plant,
be
right?
The old Exxon property.
So didn't I hear, and this is anecdotal, that could bring in a couple of $1 million in taxes
a
year?
I've heard that, you know, that's been thrown around that it could bring in $2 million a year, but at the sacrifice of what? I agree to Phil's point. That,
well, you guys, if you're elected to the Board of Selectmen, are probably going to have nothing to say about that.
Well, I think we may have something to do with the special permit or whatever, the permitting that is involved there, and I think that's where, that's very important that you have some experience as far as setbacks and regulations and screen, you know, those type of things. I think that, you know, worst case scenario, if this is jammed down our throat, I think we can bring a certain set of skills that will hopefully mitigate the issues over
Phil?
There.
As far as the tax value that they're putting on it of some $2 million, if I don't think that particular math works out very well, because if you do the reverse math on it, $2 million worth of taxes is probably $300 million worth of infrastructure, and I just don't see them bringing in $300 million worth of infrastructure.
Yeah, it may not be true. I heard it from somebody that kind of should know, but I mean, not a fact.
I think I heard, the same number thrown out during a meeting or such, and it's just the math doesn't work. I think Kinder Morgan heard the $2 million that Drake is looking for, and they said, we've got it for you.
Then why don't we go with the other question. What do you think of using TIFs to encourage businesses to come to town? Either one of you.
I think they have to be placed in the right situation. I think the situation with the assisted living, I think the manager went out, our town manager went out aggressively and brought those people back to town. And if that's what it took to get them back, some of these TIFs for the smaller businesses that are already established chains, I think they need to be reasonable. If you're going to offer an incentive, it needs to be short term.
I think initially when you're not really using a program like that very much, you need to offer it to essentially probably more people than you would normally do. So, I mean, the smaller businesses, the larger businesses, you're probably making more TIF offers than typically you would. Now that we've generated some interest within the town, we can kind of start pulling it back and utilizing it as a better tool.
Mm. Yeah, there are people that raise their eyebrows about the one for the
donut shop.
Donut shop.
Yeah,
they do make a wonderful pastry.
I bet they do. All right, let's take a break. It's bottom of the hour time here at Saturday Morning Live. We're going to have Phil and Jesse for at least another 20, 25 minutes or so. So stay with us.